Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
West Texas Fest Finds a Downtown Home by Michael Bauer. Over the years, the Ella Newell Art Museum's West Texas Fest has been a bit of a nomad, but this year it has found a home in downtown at 5th Street and Texas Avenue. Saturday's rendition will be the 6th annual edition of the West Texas Fest. The event is a fundraiser put on the Ella Newell Art Museum to help raise money necessary to continue the museum's mission in providing quality art exhibitions, educational programs, workshops for all ages, free community art days, and much more for the Permian Basin. We're definitely excited, board member and chair of the West Texas Fest, Dylan Newell, said. It's one of the biggest fundraisers for the museum. We've had it in multiple locations in the past. This year we're moving it to downtown Odessa. It'll be the first year there, so we're looking for a bigger turnout with more space that's more accessible to the public. Newell Museum officials are excited to be partnering with downtown Odessa and help them bring more life downtown and get more of a scene there. In the past, it used to be at the Willows, Newell said, but that place got sold. We bounced around some different places like Midland Shooters Association, but it was too far away from everybody. 2 years ago, the event didn't take place in person due to the pandemic. In 2020, we did Party in a Box, filled with alcohol and goodies, and sold that instead of having an event, Newell said. The event will include beer and spirit tastings, a cornhole tournament, country music courtesy of Caleb Young from Monahan's, and food truck vendors. There will be the tastings, which will be the main thing, Newell said. We'll have cornhole and axe throwing. We will be selling stuff for the capital campaign for the museum. We're undergoing renovations and are raising money for that. It's food trucks and liquor and beer tastings. Downtown Odessa Executive Director Casey Hallmark talked about the excitement level that hosting this year's West Texas Fest. We're really excited to have this event come to downtown, Hallmark said. It's been a really successful event. They haven't found a permanent home, so we reached out to them to hopefully make downtown their permanent home. You can't outgrow downtown. There's plenty of room for expansion. It just brings a vibrancy of downtown. Hopefully it opens the public to downtown even more. Tickets are $60 per person and include admission, 4 tastings, and 1 food voucher for a local vendor with an option to purchase more. This is just one of their biggest fundraisers, and we hope the public comes out and supports them and shows other organizations that downtown is a prime location for your event, Hallmark said. The public support shows these organizations that bringing their events to downtown can be beneficial. If you go, West Texas Fest, 7 to 10 p.m., September 24th, intersection of 5th Street and Texas Avenue. The Departed Returns to the Permian Basin by Michael Bauer. The last time Cody Canada and The Departed performed in the Permian Basin, a fight broke out in the crowd. That was during the band's performance at the Red Dirt Roadshow in Monahans back in May. The incident did nothing to keep Canada from coming back to the Permian Basin this week, where hopefully things will be a little more civil this time around. The band will perform at the 74th Annual St. Anne's Family Fair at 8 p.m. Saturday in Midland. The Monahans show went well, Canada said. My favorite part is when Stoney LaRue and I were doing a 20-minute version of a one-chord song, and there was a fight in the crowd that lasted for about 11 minutes. But it was a good time. We had a great time. It won't be the first time that Canada has performed in Midland. I'm always excited, Canada said. We have a good following out there, and I'm excited to get back out in that direction. Since the Monahans show, Canada has had a busy summer traveling with his family and band to do other shows. He's also taken in numerous rock concerts, which included a few Red Hot Chili Peppers performances. This summer was good, Canada said. I do a lot of traveling with the family. We go to several different concerts. We do a lot of things together. I have my share of gigs for sure, but since a lot of things have fully opened back up, my family and I are back to going to as many concerts as we can. Canada grew up in Oklahoma. It was 1980 when his father took him to a stakeout in Oklahoma City where George Strait was performing. That performance made Canada want to go into music, and it wasn't long before he started to play the guitar. More than 40 years later, Canada is still doing what he loves as he continues to play red dirt country music. Playing alongside Canada, who now resides in New Braunfels, The Departed includes bass player Jeremy Plato and drummer Eric Hansen. The Departed was formed by Canada and Plato back in 2011, and it wasn't long until Hansen joined. On July 1st, the band released its reboot of the album Soul Gravy, which is a catalog classic from Canada's previous band, Cross Canadian Ragweed, that was recorded in 2004 during their brief stay with Universal South Records. "We re-released Soul Gravy," Canada said. "We cut it because I wasn't happy with the way the original sounded. Also, I didn't own the rights to that group of music, so reworking it made me control the rights." The band's new single, Lonely Girl, was released August 29th. "We have a few new tunes that we've added," Canada said. "We've also added some old ones. I've gone back and revamped some songs and a bunch of tunes that we used in the old day. I just want everybody to get ready for what we have coming. We have some new tunes." If You Go, Cody Canada and The Departed, 8 p.m., September 23rd, St. Anne's Family Fair, 1906 West Texas Avenue, Midland.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, September 17, 2022. Viewpoints. Questions for the candidates. Please address the Nueva Vista situation, where the council handled it well, where it didn't handle as well, and how you will address similar situations. Amy Stretcher Burks, City District 4 candidate. District rep should be its voice. Provide guidance to residents. I wrote an opinion piece for the Midland Reporter Telegram last October. It was titled, "Responsible Development Should Enhance All Neighborhoods." For some background, my husband and I are both native Midlanders. We moved away for 6 years and lived in Kansas City and Minneapolis while he was doing his residency and fellowship for orthopedic surgery. He was recruited by Midland Memorial, so we were able to move back home 2 years ago. He currently works for West Texas Orthopedics as a joints trauma surgeon, and I stay at home with our three daughters. When we moved back to Midland, we purchased a house in Grassland West. I immediately was elected to the Grassland West HOA board because I wanted to be more involved and be more active in my community. 6 months after moving, we received our first set of letters regarding the intent to annex and rezone part of the Nueva Vista golf course. Whenever the City of Midland wants to annex or rezone a piece of property, the city will send out a letter to every resident who owns land within 200 feet of the property involved. The golf course had been for sale, and an out-of-state investor was wanting to purchase the property to then piecemeal it into approximately 629 units of townhomes, garden homes, single-family three, etc. Letters were sent out to every resident within 200 feet of the triangle, as we called it. My neighbor and I knocked on the door of every residence that received a petition and explained what was happening and what options we had to address the concerns of the neighborhood. I fielded hundreds of questions from concerned Midlanders. I responded and took the time to address their concerns. When I didn't know the answer to a question, I went to City Hall and asked. I took the signed petition letters to City Hall, emailed residents, and had numerous phone calls. I had in-person meetings with multiple council members. Other neighbors helped to put out flyers for an upcoming town hall to let everyone know about the annexation. It was a team effort, much like what we are seeing in Greentree currently. I spoke at the town hall, along with many of my neighbors, and stayed for the entire meeting. I attended and spoke at every Planning and Zoning Commission meeting and every City Council meeting. Over the course of 9 months, it was determined that the plan provided was not the best for Midland. The Midland City Council made the right decision to deny the rezoning. Flooding, safety, and traffic were a few of the main concerns that needed to be addressed. The proposed development was not compatible with the adjacent neighborhood. Many stepped up during those 9 months. For Midland was also created, and they worked tirelessly to provide another solution to improve the existing area. I met with Autumn Winkles and attended multiple For Midland board meetings. I also met with many council members in conjunction with For Midland to come up with a win-win solution. My family and I have continued to support For Midland by volunteering and by participating in their events. The issue of Nueva Vista opened dialogue with other neighborhoods within District 4 that expressed similar concerns. Responsible development that is compatible with the neighborhood, that addresses issues such as traffic safety and drainage, and enhances all neighborhoods in Midland, is something I think that we can all get behind. I realized through this process, after meeting with multiple city department heads and speaking with neighbors, that this process can be confusing at times. I want to help my District 4 neighbors know how to navigate the system and have an open-door policy where I can not only be their voice, but provide guidance about this process. The situation showed me that City Council members need to be knowledgeable about the issues and listen and respond to their constituents. I will not make up my mind until I have given all the affected parties an opportunity to be heard. I will make every effort to communicate clearly and be transparent. I will not make these decisions lightly, but will work hard to make an informed decision. Just like during the Save Nueva Vista campaign, I am once again out block walking, and now I am working for your vote. I'm accessible, ready to listen, and care about my community. I will not only listen, but will take action. I am able to collaborate with various individuals to work towards a resolution, and I will communicate with the people of District 4. I am not afraid to take a stand, and the residents of District 4 will have a voice on the Midland City Council if I'm elected. James Garrity, City District 4 candidate. Nueva Vista showed that smart growth should be the standard. The Nueva Vista issue may not be fully known by all who live in District 4, so I want to begin by going back to the events of 2021. Without warning and with no communication from our City Council member, residents along the Nueva Vista golf course received notice of an annexation and planned development. Several neighbors organized a protest letter response drive and approached the issue with a strength in number strategy. As president of the Grasslands Estates West HOA, I had standing, so I went to work and met with city officials, elected leaders, and the architect of the proposed development to discuss what the plan would look like, how it may impact the Grasslands community as a whole, and lobby for certain protections against encroachment, as well as proper drainage. After reviewing the revised plans, I stressed to city officials our HOA would demand a 100-year flood study in the event the plan passed planning and zoning. I worked with the neighbors of both Grassland communities, as well as our own HOA board of directors, to come together and eventually oppose the plan as a community. City Councilwoman Blong helped when the skies opened up. When the heavy rains came in June, early July 2021, with input from residents of Grasslands Estates and Grassland Estates West, I was able to meet with Lori Blong and the city staff to discuss our concerns about the flood that covered almost 50% of the golf course and had backed into our communities, and let them know we would fight for a flood study to be done. Our community was under threat of being exposed to catastrophic flooding. That 2021 flood event was a 25-year event. The city, as well as the architect for the development, concurred that Midland was past due for a 100-year flood event. Midland City Council did get it right in the end. At City Council, many spoke passionately about golfing, green spaces, and the impact on home values, as well as privacy issues. I presented facts about the plan and the recent flood event, provided pictures to our District 4 representative, Councilwoman Blong, and explained that the Grasslands Estates West community would seek litigation, if necessary, to have an independent 100-year FEMA-approved study done since the previous one was done in 1995. Gratefully, the City Council almost unanimously rejected the developer's plan, and the golf course is still operating in spite of threats to close. The Four Midland Group aspires to acquire the property and maintain it as a golf course. City Council failed on several points. Communication. It is fair to say that few knew about this issue coming up until a notice was received in the mail from the City of Midland Planning Department. Our elected representative did not communicate with the HOA until I reached out as HOA president asking about the manner in which we found out. The lack of communication made the process reactive in nature versus proactive. Priorities. I believe in individuals' property rights to be able to sell or develop their property, but it must be in line with neighboring residents' rights of privacy and protection. Our desire to build more homes in Midland to meet potential demand cannot be the sole priority of the city. This is not 2012. This is 2022, and we have plentiful apartments and housing developments built or on the books to meet the needs of a city with a population of 160,000. If individual property rights and neighbors' property rights are not in balance, then the proposal needs to be revised or rejected. My focus, if elected, to serve District 4. If elected to represent District 4, I will implement a better communication stream with the community and request city planning staff to advise me on upcoming projects prior to being added to the planning and zoning agenda and share with my constituents. I will plan and hold community meetings with the affected neighborhoods. First and foremost, I represent the residents of District 4, and my priority is the community comes first. Large concept plans need community input, and the community should know in a proactive way what is coming. The considerations of the District 4 community that elects the next council member should be based on who will do the best to serve the needs of the community, not just the needs of a few or one. Smart growth should be the standard moving forward. We need to continue to grow Midland as the economy grows. It should be well conceived, with existing neighborhoods in mind to enhance existing property values without diminishing the quality of life.
My name is Susie Haynes, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Saturday, September 17, 2022. Letters to the Editor, Midland City Council District 4. Berks understands collaborative representation. There are many issues facing District 4 rezoning development, being one of them. Amy Stretcher Berks has proven her leadership during the proposed rezoning of the Nueva Vista Golf Course in 2021. Amy took an active role to organize neighbors, knock doors collecting dissent signatures, and attend every pertinent P&Z and City Council meeting. She met with city officials and city workers frequently to learn the process and voice the concerns of the neighborhood. Amy, along with many of our neighbors, presented the concerns of flooding, traffic, and loss of green space, recreation, and an anticipated loss of value to the existing homes to the P&Z and Council. The heavy rains during the summer-fall of 2021 flooded the NVGC and water encroached on the surrounding neighborhood. Amy and the residents of Grassland and GEW stated that no rezoning should be considered until an independent, comprehensive flood study was completed, as the most recent study was from the 1990s. Amy is on the 7-member board of the GEW HOA and understands that representation is a collaborative effort and not about one individual. Join me and my neighbors in choosing the best candidate for District 4. Vote Amy Stretcher Berks for Midland City Council District 4. Kim Helm. Midland ISD District 3. Bishop is a man of integrity. I would like to take this opportunity to recommend Tommy Bishop for the school board of MISD. I served as an educator at a previous school where Tommy served as a board member and at one point was the board president. I found very early that he took that job very seriously and made decisions that were based on what was best for our school district. He never had a hidden agenda but looked at the big picture. Tommy was a great supporter of all extracurricular programs, and although he was a great supporter of our athletic programs, he was also an advocate for our band program and all literary events. If there was a school activity, whether competitive or not, he did his best to be there and support that activity. If there was ever a time that I or any others felt we needed something from our program, his first thought was, "Is this the best thing for our students?" If there was ever a question or concern about a teacher, coach, administrator, or sponsor, his first question was, "Have you gone to talk to the one involved?" I always felt that he had my back, but never backed down from calling me out if he felt the need. Tommy is a man of integrity, and in my opinions, would serve MISD well. Tom Slagle. Bishop is warrior for students in school district. Greetings, my name is Roy L. Smith, and I am the senior pastor and founder of the True Light Christian Fellowship Church here in the city of Midland. This letter is to express to this community the confidence I have in the incumbent school board member of District 3, Mr. Tommy Bishop. I have known Mr. Bishop for well over 30 years, and I have had the pleasure of being his pastor for the last decade and more. I have journeyed with him in his life and watched him navigate as a friend, a husband, and a father. And I have watched him grow in every one of these areas. These roles have grown him into the man of integrity I stand with today. As a school board member, I would tag him by identity as a warrior for the students of MISD and an absolute liaison for parents. Mr. Bishop is what we of old call a man of his word, and if he shakes your hand, you can count on his heart as well. Please consider Mr. Tommy Bishop as the candidate for MISD School Board Member District 3 for continued excellence for the welfare of our children. Pastor Roy L. Smith, True Light Christian Fellowship.
Study reveals whether high APTT level needs treatment. To your good health for Friday. Dear Dr. Roach, I recently had a surgery, and prior to the surgery, my doctor ordered some routine blood tests. My APTT level was high, but the PT level was normal. The doctor said it was probably nothing and the surgery went fine. But when I went back for my annual checkup, he rechecked it and it's still high. Do I need to worry? Dr. Roach writes, the activated partial thromboplastin time, APTT, is a measurement of blood clotting. A prolonged APTT with a normal prothrombin time could mean a deficiency of one of the clotting factors, proteins that help make a mature blood clot, either by an inhibitor of one of the blood clotting proteins or by a condition called von Willebrand disease. Many of these factors are not associated with risk of any conditions, such as excessive bleeding. However, the elevation of APTT could indicate an increased risk for bleeding and even abnormal clotting in the confusingly named lupus anticoagulant. The next stop is usually a hematologist who will perform a mixing study where your blood is mixed with normal blood and then retested to see if that makes the APTT level come out normal. If it doesn't, it's likely you have an inhibitor. If the mixing study corrects the APTT level, you have a protein deficiency. Since even 50% of a blood clotting factor is enough to have clots normally and have a normal APTT, further testing will help decide whether this is something that will require treatment. Wife can't abide husband's other love, his weed. Dear Abby for Friday. Dear Abby, I've been with my husband for 7 years, and I'm tired of having to fight the same fight every day. He smokes marijuana, and I hate it. It has been a constant battle for years. We tried therapy, which helped for a while, but he goes back to smoking behind my back. We tried to reach a compromise that he smoke only after a certain time of day, but it still leads to fights. He shuts me out when he's doing drugs and says I don't care about his happiness because it's something he enjoys, and I am taking it away. I love him so much, but I hate drugs and don't like who he becomes when he's smoking. I want to have a baby, but I am uncomfortable with drugs being in the house. I feel like I can't trust him to be alone with a baby when he's high. I don't want to leave him, but I can't take it anymore. Having the same fight every day is exhausting, and it's really had a negative impact on our marriage. I want him to choose me over this, but if I give him an ultimatum, he'll hate me. What do I do? Anti-drug in Illinois. Dear anti-drug, give your husband that ultimatum and pack your bags. If you prefer the father of your child not to have a marijuana habit and he cannot quit, then as much as you may love him, this person isn't the one for you. Sorry. Dear Abby, I've read your column for years, frequently taking advice you provide to others and applying it to my circumstances. I've developed a mutual bond with a woman who is 30 or 28 years younger than myself. She's a waitress at a diner I frequent. I've seen her children grow over the past 6 or 7 years. We've had many meaningful conversations and shared our highs and lows. She's naturally friendly. 3 or 4 years ago, she began sharing casual side hugs when I arrived. I never asked for them. Over the last year, these hugs have become more intimate, not in a sexual way, just a deeper bond of friendship. We occasionally instant message when she's off work, but I don't see her socially. Lately, she has been teasing that she'll be my next ex. I reciprocate the flirting and teasing. I believe there is a mutual attraction. If not for the age difference, which I'm okay with, the fear of causing issues with our friendship, I'd ask her out. Societal taboos weigh heavily on my mind, and I'm pragmatic. Should I or shouldn't I? Or am I reading too much into our friendship? Unsure in the Midwest. Dear Unsure, not having witnessed the chemistry between the two of you, I couldn't say. However, nothing ventured, nothing gained. The next time you see her, after one of those more intimate hugs, tell her teasingly that you have been thinking about her comment that she'll be your next ex, and ask if she'd like to have dinner with you sometime. Her response will tell you if you have been reading too much into the friendship.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.